Hello and good evening, everybody. Thank you all for joining us for the 25th episode of Podcast Deculture, Silver Anniversary, finally. Joining me tonight are Mihijam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And our father, Nihan.
Hello.
No Sajza for today. He's busy at work getting ass raped. So, yeah, we'll just proceed the show without him. Anyways, guys, so what's up? What you guys been watching this week? Anybody?
Who wants to go first?
Arfigo. I have been watching Lost Season 6.
Okay, anything else? Anything interesting?
Well, it's interesting. There are still some interesting moments in there. What else have I been watching? I watched a movie which is out in the cinema right now, which is called Losers.
Oh, you went for that?
I watched it.
Okay. By means which shall not be named, but okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not been getting very good reviews, and it's another sort of comic book graphic novel movie which has come out alongside Kick-Ass as well. And, you know, I was like a bit disappointed why it's not been getting that great reviews, and well, I watched it and I realized why.
What was that?
It's not, honestly, it's a very normal movie. It's nothing extra special. It's just a normal sort of action movie. It's got some nice stylistic elements in there, but the main bad guy is kind of moronic, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah. I didn't really feel it as much as, you know, some other movies. Like, you know, for example, Justin Hammer in Iron Man 2, he was kind of campy and silly and stupid as well, but it worked.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
It worked very well. Yeah. But in this movie, the guy, it just didn't work. The comic books aren't that good either. Maybe the characterization isn't good in them. I don't know. I haven't read it. But, you know, the movie was very sort of average, you know, so, yeah. The fact, I mean, if people should go and watch it on the cinema, and I don't think so, because I don't, you know, the action sequences weren't that spectacular. They were nice. It was fun to watch. The movie was entertaining, though it was a bit boring and slow in a few elements, but it was just a normal sort of action movie, you know, that, yeah, it could have had any name, but it just had this name attached to it. I mean, I guess the story is the same, but it's nothing all that great. So, you know.
If, you know, from the box office, Arfi, your mic is echoing.
Sorry? Is it now?
Yeah. Okay, anyway, I was saying that from a box office standpoint, this movie did pretty badly, because in the first weekend it came out, it got only $9.8 million, which was... I mean, movies like these should at least secure over 15 to like rounding 20, right? This movie just was really bad at the box office. It fared really badly, and after that it dropped. So so people weren't really looking forward to this movie, first of all, and secondly, nobody really knew like what it was. There was no like any good marketing to it. So it was a failure in all aspects. if you could say that, but
actually launch it alongside Kick-Ass, like it happened here, or
they
was
did.
That just unfortunate timing here?
I think they didn't plan that, but it just happened to be, and the, you know, the inevitable like comparisons to Kick-Ass, and Kick-Ass is such a like, I mean, as compared to this, and as just like a comic book film, it is a really powerful film, and it's a really strong film, but this one, yeah. I guess just fell flat, and nobody was
pretty
really looking
much.
Forward to it, so I guess
pretty much. I watched some Justice League Unlimited too.
How was that?
I'm anything else?
four episodes away from finishing it, actually. So let's hope it goes out with a big bang and not a whimper.
You know, to go back to the last mention you mentioned earlier was that today I think tonight's the last episode of Lost. I don't watch Lost. I stopped watching Lost in the fourth season.
It's up to episode 15 so far. I think 16 has just been released.
Really?
And the last episode is episode 18.
Yeah, I thought today the last episode was 16 and 17 and 18 aired like a double feature tonight in the US.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Then maybe I'm mistaken. Okay.
No, I don't really watch Lost, but, like, Lost has been, like, a part of the pop culture or the internet culture more like for 6 years, and now it's going to be... It's quite a big thing because you won't see people hating on it as much on Twitter or on, like, forums and stuff, and you won't... Basically, the whole... It's like, I would say it's a pretty big thing that's ending. And, I just like to see, like, the viewership is for this, you know, episode. This, tonight. Just to see how many people actually tune in to watch it. Because I feel this show has been, I would say, I don't know if it's bigger than 24, but I would say it's pretty high up, and could be a mighty force against 24. In the sense, like, the amount of viewership and the amount of fan following for the show.
Dude, so 24 started dying, I think, 2 or 3 seasons back, so anything is a big...
That's true, but, like, 24, even when 24 was in its prime, Lost was there, and Lost was in its, I think, season 3 when 24 was in its season 5, and it was still... These two were the leading TV, I would say, mammoths, you know?
The last good season, 24. Although, I must say, season 8 is nearing the end right now. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, and season 8's the last thing, right, as well, for 24. So, I mean, two big things just going together, you know, it's quite, I would say quite
monumental. Yeah, it's quite
monumental.
Interesting to see that, you know, I mean, yeah, that both of these series that have been continuing since forever now are finally ending. And 24, I just want to, like, plug in a little bit that, well, these guys know, obviously, that, you know, this is the last season. They're just literally, like, you know, anybody who deserves it is, like, getting killed, stabbed in the face, shot, mutilated. Everything is going on in the show right now. They're like, man, whatever. Last season, we were going out with a bang. Everybody's getting killed, man. Everybody.
So, are you watching this season? Or I haven't been really...
I'm watching.
Good clean fun then, huh?
Yeah. Enjoyable fun is what I'd say.
Family prime time.
Yeah.
Anyway, you done, Arfi?
I think I am. Did I watch any other movies? No, but what I am going to start watching today, because I've borrowed it off my partner, is, and by partner I don't mean my wife, I mean my business partner, is Battlestar Galactica, because he's got the entire series, including the miniseries and everything. So, yeah, I'm going to start watching that. So I shall comment on that.
It'll be interesting to see your, you know,
Timur's
a high regard for the series and then the ultimate downfall.
Timur's a fan, but I, after the last episode, he just began hating on it. So I don't really know what happened at the end, but it'll be interesting to see what happens at the end.
Yeah, I'm not alone in this assessment, but yeah. Anyway,
okay.
You're in for an entertaining time, that's for sure.
I'm sure. Looking forward to it.
Mio, what's up with you?
This week I got a chance to see Prince of Persia in the cinema. This is Prince of Persia.
Please tell me about it.
Prince of Persia and the Sands of Time, and this is everybody knows it's a video game adaptation from, I think, the Sands of Time came out when 2001.
2003, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the fourth time now.
Sorry, 2003. Anyway, so I'll just give you a little plot synopsis. It basically follows Prince Dastan, played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Whoa, what's his name again?
Prince Dastan. Dastan, if you were to say it with an American accent, but I don't have
Dastan,
that, sir.
Isn't Dastan, doesn't that mean legacy?
Yeah.
In Hindi and Urdu, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, maybe they were like Destiny, so they were like Dust. Oh, God. Anyways. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, makes sense, I guess.
Alright, so Prince Dastan is basically, at the start of the film, he's adopted by the King of Persia, whose name I cannot recall. And because of his bravery and his, like, courage and etc., all that jazz. Anyway, he's adopted. He's basically the golden boy of the army, of the Persian army. And because of his dexterity and his intellect, and everybody basically, he has this group of like these warriors, or like an infantry in the army, who are very, like, renowned, I would say. Anyway, the movie basically starts with an attack on a city whose name also I can't remember, and it's basically governed by the princess Tamina. She is played by Gemma Arterton, who is extremely hot in this film. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, she's basically used because of her insane beauty. Let's just put it that way. And so he attacks her. The attack goes in favor of the Persian army, and Prince Dastan, he's basically renowned because of his tactics and how he was the key to their victory in that fight. They were basically looking for weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, that's what I would call it. But it's not found there, so you can basically.
Are you shitting me? This is like prehistoric time. Prehistoric. I mean,
Pre-medieval times.
They're looking for
weapons of mass destruction. And so you can have that, like, you know, the Iraq war connection over there, but I didn't really look into that deep because it's a Jerry Bruckheimer film. So he's renowned. The king is really happy because this attack was not led by the king himself. It was led by his three sons, Dastan being one of the adopted one, and the two others, I can't remember. I think it was Gustav and Tus. Anyway, so they return back home after the victory, and everybody's happy. It's a jolly good time in Persia, and Prince Dastan basically decides to gift his father a piece of cloth, like a robe. And it's poisoned. So basically,
what sort of a gift is that,
dude? Don't go.
I'm not spoiling it. This is like the first 20 minutes of the film. All right.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So
how long is the film, by the way?
It runs about just under 2 hours.
Wow. Oh, okay, that's man. Long.
Anyway.
Damn. Oh, are you kidding me? That's a bit short.
I would say that's perfect because it's a. You know, it's a summer blockbuster,
okay,
I would say.
Yeah, okay, fine, fair enough.
Anyway, so he gives him that, and it's poisoned, and the king burns to death. and basically everybody blames Dastan because he gifted him that cloth, but as the viewers, we know that he isn't. Somebody is playing somebody's pulling the strings behind who wanted the king dead and is hungry for power. And he's exiled, and he runs away with Prince Tamina, which for reasons...
That's a funny name for a Persian princess. Sorry, carry on.
They exiled, and basically that's where the story begins. And I won't delve into it anymore because it'll basically spoil the film. It has then the whole dagger and the time changing, etc. All of it is like embedded into the story from there on.
Of course.
Anyway,
nice.
So the film, I would say it's what you expect from a Jerry Bruckheimer film. It's,
okay, I wanted to ask you this before, and I'm. You said that the first Pirates of the Caribbean you rated an 8 out of 10.
Yes.
This one?
I would say this is a... I would say maybe a 5 or a 6.
Whoa, what?
Okay, let me just say this. When we first watched Pirates of the Caribbean, it was a fun movie. It was a campy movie, yes, but it was a lot of fun. It was predictable, but you would still go with it because of the story. It basically created a world which you wanted to delve into. It was so much fun. Just that world, just being in that world, just being part of that experience was amazing. So, it was a lot of fun just watching that film, right? The same feeling is not... You don't feel that way in Prince of Persia. Like the story, I would say, number one, is way too predictable. And that's
perhaps
what makes
because
it...
Because you've played the video game?
Yeah, but when I played the video game, And when I played that video game, I did not care about any of the story. Whenever there's a cutscene, I skipped it. I was just playing it for basically, you know, the whole parkour nonsense that was in the game. Okay, they're not nonsense. It was good stuff, but basically that aspect because I was
falling here, man. Be careful.
I was a kid then, and I didn't really give a shit about the story. So I just played it for the, you know, for basically all the cool stuff you could do with the Prince of Persia, the wall jumping, the running on walls, etc. That was the whole deal with that game for me, not the story. So I actually do not know the story of Prince of Persia till now, because I basically just skipped every cutscene that was actually in
okay,
that game.
That's good. Do you know?
So I don't really know the story, and I went into it like you could say completely fresh, just having played the game, but not really knowing the story. Anyway, so I'll just say this: this game movie is what you expect from a Bruckheimer film because it has the, you know, the love and hate relationship between the two characters, like between Prince Dastan and Prince Tamina.
Mm-hmm.
You have action set pieces which are expected because this is a summer blockbuster film, and you have the like the random comic relief like moments, which. Let me say this, they fail really badly in this film. The comic moments are really not funny in this movie. I was just like you know, stupefied by the stupidity of the comic like lines and just like I would say cringing because it was that bad. The comic relief is not good in this movie. Do not go in this movie for the comic relief. It is pathetic. Sorry if I'm coming really hard on this movie. I didn't expect much from this movie. I wasn't really excited, mainly because I was afraid that Jake Gyllenhaal was a miscast. Now, what surprised me most was that he wasn't. He was actually really good in the role. But the story, he was actually a really believable Prince of Persia. Like he was holding the film well. I would say, but the story was really predictable and it had so many flaws in the film that you wouldn't really engage in the film. There were a shitload of editing problems.
Okay,
let me ask
you this: did you have fun at the face value of the movie? Like, you know, just.
No, because it was very predictable. Like, I actually knew what was going to happen next in the story. So it never really you know, like grasped me.
You should have had one of those what do they call the eye slushies, where your mind was just you'd go on a brain freeze, not be able to think and be just like.
No,
wow,
it's not that. And even the CGI is good, but there are a couple of really bad green screen moments in this film. Like, really pathetic. And I was just like, dude, the budget of this movie is like, what, 80 million, 70 million? Come on, you could do better than that. Come on. Like, you could really do better with the money they had in this film. So, all in all, I wasn't really expecting much from the film, so I wasn't, like, disappointed. But I if you went for it, you would still have fun, but not as much as Pirates of the Caribbean. Not even close. Maybe Pirates of the Caribbean 2, because Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3 were disasters of movies. And I was saying the acting is good, but the story and the main villain, which I will not say, is really underwritten. So you don't really, you know, you're not really threatened by him. So it's kind of a waste of a character. So if you go for it, it's not unbearably bad. It's just mediocre. And I consider movies which are like really bad or really good. I'm fine with those, but the mediocre ones are the ones that really piss me off because you can't really shit on it, because there are some good stuff in it, and you're just like you know, sad that
it could have been
much better. Yeah, it could have been much better. And I mean, like, if you go for it, why not? It's not a bad movie, but I wouldn't recommend it to go in the cinema. I mean, if you were catching it on TV or on DVD, it's fine for like a rental, but I wouldn't like actually say go out of your way to go and actually check this out, because it's really not that good. But yeah, that's just my opinion, and I mean I'm sorry if I came really hard on it, but yeah, I wasn't really impressed at all. So
okay, fine. Anything else?
I checked out Katanagatari, which is this
mm-hmm.
I mean, you've mentioned this before, previously on the show, and it takes like a very interesting way of like airing, which basically it has only one episode per month, and they are 50 minute episode each, and which is not regular anime, because regular anime airs like about a 24 minute episode per week, right? So Katanagatari, Taimur's already mentioned it. You can check the plot synopsis, etc. In the previous episode. I can't remember which one exactly. But what I really loved about this show is that it's like an homage to Shonen series. And I was just waiting for an anime to actually do that, you know, to the whole samurai Edo period kind of anime, which we all love, like Samurai Champloo. Samurai Champloo was also a really well done homage to all these Shonen series, but it had a really nice, like, it had a really nice feeling. Katanagatari 2 has really amazing dialogue, to be honest. Like, there are scenes of like 3-4 minutes straight out dialogue without any action.
So much fun.
Yeah, and there's so much fun
going on. No, because there's proper, like, you know, proper not just like boring exposition. The give and take between the main guy and the main girl, it's so, you know, natural, and
it's very dynamic, you know, and it's very like, you know, they keep bouncing off each other, and it's such great chemistry. It's a blast to watch, I would say. I mean, if you want to get into anime, check this out. It is a really fun show, and
best of all, it's not it doesn't emphasize on what's it called, on fan service, or you know,
yeah,
being Anyways, you can see the straight lines in audacity where you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's silence. Oh God,
man! Today, I just want to say that we've got so many listeners, and it's just completely God is playing his evil hand on us. I'm sorry.
God hates you, dude. Sadly, me and Arfi and Walsh, so you're getting like you know, getting caught up in the crossfire.
Hey, God loves me, man.
Anyway,
this is why the call still holds for as long.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's indifferent towards me.
Anyway, what are you going to say about Kathanagatari?
Nothing, he's kick ass.
Okay, yeah, no, I was just saying one more thing. Like, I researched like a bit into this anime, and I found out that it's written by Nino Ishin, who also wrote last year's Bakke Monogatari. Bakke Monogatari was like this supernatural show with like vampires and stuff, but it didn't like take the vampire.
Whoa! Yo. They had vampires in that show?
Yeah, in Bakke Monogatari, it was...
Okay, I didn't see it after episode 8, I think, so maybe that.
I wouldn't say, like, completely vampires, but it was supernatural.
You kind of
like,
missed
a lot
the whole
of super...
point of this anime, dude. Vampires?
Yeah, come on, it was...
It wasn't a vampire. It wasn't a vampire, like, you know how blood-sucking vampire? It was, like, more of a... Okay, I wouldn't even call it a vampire.
Something else sucking vampires, huh? Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, jeez, really bad. Anyway... Anyway, I was just saying it's very similar to Bakke Monogatari in the way that it had like these dynamic characters just bouncing off each other, and the dialogue was so like captivating. It's just an amazing experience to watch two people just bounce off each other so well and with such great chemistry.
Yeah, not like literally bouncing off each other.
Yeah, I mean with witty lines and like great dialogue. That's what makes this show great. And even the animation when the fight scenes are actually taking place, they are so quick, but they are so well animated. It's just a blast to watch the series, and a very very, I guess it's a high budget production, right?
It definitely has to be. I mean the sometimes the character design's a bit simple. You don't see a like insane amount of detail. But anyways, it's my turn now. Here, can I speak?
Yes.
with your permission, can I?
I guess you can.
Don't keep quiet too long, otherwise you'll actually cut off these parts.
Yeah, I know. Continue.
Oh, God. Anyways, I finally went to the cinema day before and watched Kick-Ass.
Oh, my
yes.
God. Finally.
At last.
A week before it, actually, I think they'll pull it off this week or something like that.
Okay, yes, carry on. What did you think?
Best movie of the year.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
There's not a single moment in that film where I felt like, you know, why am I here? You know, is this happening? Actually, not. Is this happening? Yeah, that was, you know, that popped my mind quite a lot. But, you know,
yeah.
in a good way. In a good way. Yeah. Like, I wasn't feeling exasperated or anything. It is... I don't need to add anything to what you guys have already said before. It is absolutely brilliant. If you are a teenager and above... Yeah, if you're between 30 to 40, you'll appreciate what's going on over here. And
excuse me, come on, are you dissing me right now?
Weren't you 29?
Dude, I'm fucking 33, man. What the F, man?
Ouch.
Jesus Christ, Amur. I think you need to redo this age categorization that you've just done.
Okay, so from teens till 35, mid-30s, you'll really love this one. Because, I mean... it's hearkening to current day culture. I thought that like what's this called? Watchmen. This was the comic series started like sometimes in the early 90s. It's actually February 2008 when it started, because the cultural references that they had towards YouTube and MySpace and all that crap. I mean, it's I thought this sort of worked into the film from the old series. But anyways, yeah. I mean, dude, wow, what a movie! And yes. Hit Girl does sort of steals the show.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they didn't provide much screen time to Kick-Ass, but they had like three. Yeah, I think they just had three major, you know, action sequences.
Yeah, but like what I really loved about the movie was that Won actually got so much out of those like specific action scenes.
Yeah,
he got.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Now,
like it was such an
The like, first time he starts off, like, you know, it was so reminiscent of the first Spider-Man movie where, you know, he was sort of, I guess they were on, to some extent, they were also taking the piss out of that.
Yeah. But, dude, the whole opening thing.
Yeah. And, what's it called? The part where Nicolas Cage went inside the warehouse and that
scene
pistols
was
and shotguns, but the way that scene was shot was, it has so much impact. It reminded me so much of The Dark Knight, which is sort of ironic because
Dark Knight's like
sort of like a Batman. But anyways, dude,
I didn't say Batman.
Yeah, the profanity that they use, everything is completely off. And honestly, this is not the kind of film that people above. I can say this with good confidence that people above 40 would not like this film much.
No, I actually disagree because. Okay, I don't know if I should say this. My dad really enjoyed it.
No, your dad enjoyed it, but your dad enjoyed it in the sense that he's a movie buff who's in touch with, you know, films of all generations, and he keeps up to date with all the latest films. I'm talking people like, you know, let's say your dad was not so much of an avid movie watcher. Then, yes, he might not have liked it. Or, you know, not in good taste at least.
I guess.
So anybody who's, you know, like, plus your dad watches a lot of movies. So yeah. That's what I'm saying, that anybody who doesn't watch his movie, like, you know, anybody who watches movies like every once a month or something like that, they're too busy with their daily lives or something. If they went to the cinema or even at home and they watched the film, they'd be like, what the F is this? Is this happening? And they'd be like, oh my God, 11-year-old girl is, oh no, this is not good. They'll be like fucking Roger Ebert, who's like, small girl. Actually, the time when she, the filming, it actually started during when, what's her name,
Chloe.
Chloe something. She was actually 11 when she started filming.
Yeah, Chloe Grace Moretz. That's
yeah. So, whatever. I mean, dude, this is a film for our generation. It's not the film for the older generation who's holding on to, you know, politics and some of the big decision makers of the world right now.
Okay,
once this generation dies off and we come in, we are
I had a question from last week, which I kept holding.
Yeah, you're saying that it was something spoilers. So, guys.
Yeah. So, okay. Should I do it?
This is gonna be like, you know, I don't know, 2 minute spoiler.
Okay. Yeah. So if spoiler alert for Kick-Ass. If you haven't watched it, just like I guess forward the episode for about 3-4 minutes. Anyway, now I've basically been reading a lot about this film, like listening to podcasts, etc.
And they didn't do that though. I know what you're gonna say. Carry on.
Okay, I don't know if you can, but I don't consider it a flaw. Like I actually do consider it a flaw, but I still love the movie. I still love the movie to no ends. But like if you see the first half of the film, it's like a satirical take on the superhero or the comic book genre. Yeah.
Sure.
Like you can accept that, right? Like yeah. It's basically poking fun at all the tropes the other comic book films have basically shown us till now, and but in the second half it delves into it, basically becomes one of those films. Now this is not a flaw. I mean, I wouldn't say, this does not take away anything from the experience.
I actually have a comment before you actually go further with that. I would disagree. I think it continues to take the piss. Because if you realize, there's a 13-year-old girl who's kicking the shit out of all these guys in slow motion with beautiful music in the background. Yes, it looks great and you feel great while watching it. But if you think about it, it's a fucking 13-year-old girl doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a mistake in itself, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But like, see, I thought a lot about this movie and everybody's expecting this to be really, you know, authentic, like it's supposed to be a really, you know, realistic film. It's not. This movie is basically a superhero film or a comic book film based on a real world scenario, and people usually they have a misconception of the fact that this is supposed to be realistic. This can actually happen.
Didn't the actual comic book the designer as well as Wagen himself didn't they say that, you know, this was. This the story of Kick-Ass is something that they came up with in keeping in mind that, you know, when they were kids or, you know, when they were the age of, you know, younger teens, that they were so much into Batman and all that stuff that, you know, it was sort of pathetic that, you know, how much they actually wanted to be superheroes. So this movie is sort of a real take on what
that's
could
true.
Have been had these guys, the makers of the comic and the movie, gone that route.
That's true.
So
that's
sort of
what
a real take on, you know, what could have happened.
I mean, yeah.
I think the real take on what would have happened is that they would have died.
Yeah,
yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
Probably the way they showed it in the beginning, where he got like stabbed and shit all over the place, getting hit by a car.
Yeah. Mm. But that's what really annoys me. The flaw which I mentioned before, which I think also it is a flaw, but it does not take away anything from the experience. It will not take away from the movie. The experience is still there. It is a fun movie. But like what really pissed me off is that people actually expected this movie to be realistic, and I never really expected it to be. I just expected it to be a real world scenario, which I already mentioned. You know, like shit like that can never. But you cannot have a girl 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, no. See,
take a knife and shove it through a door. I mean, you need a lot of strength for that. That's not possible for a girl that small.
See, this is what's it called? The movie started off as a sort of a satirical take on, you know, the teen life nowadays, and you know how comic books are so infused in the culture. Plus, it didn't go that route on purpose, but this is how it naturally developed, that it sort of became like a proper crime drama towards
the
half of the movie, like Dark Knight was. I mean, it still kept true to the rules. I mean, like Arfi said, that little girl, that 11-year-old girl, as they were trying to represent, she was still kicking ass. Impossible, but you know, the situation demanded it, and you know, that's how the story turned out.
Which I completely enjoyed. I'm not saying, I'm just like basically rambling about it because I want to talk about this film. There's a lot of this film opens doors to a lot of discussion. And I had one more, I'm blanking out on one more point, but I had one more point. What do you guys feel of Adam West's how Nicolas Cage?
Adam West's performance as Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
how Nicolas Cage Adam West's how the way he talks.
I found it absolutely brilliant. In fact, I was laughing out loud as soon as he started talking in costume. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
just so nicely done. Completely again, you know, I didn't expect him to be that. Camp about it. It was brilliant the way he did it.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about this movie was.
I mean, say, like multiple viewings. It's really a great movie.
Oh hell yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I wanted to. I mean, I walked out of the cinema and I looked at my wife
again,
and I said, I want to go back and see it right now. Exactly. I want to see it again right now.
So
it was,
I guess,
that good.
The verdict is positive. Please, people, go and watch
it. Yes.
Yeah. If you haven't watched it.
Die.
Now. Okay.
No, I mean, not die.
I mean, watch it, then die, because you watched it so long. So after so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I can hear the clicking going on. Anyways, I mean, we'll just pretend that, you know, as soon as you drop, it's just a vacuum. Nobody says anything. And then as soon as you come back, we resume like normal. So we're putting ourselves on hold mentally.
We're taking deep breaths, soul-searching breaths.
Anywho, let's finish with what we've been watching. It's
been long.
30 minutes, yeah. What have you been playing now? There's a handful of games,
that
Arfi have finally started playing. Mihir, since you haven't, let's just start with you. Did you play anything, or are you still busy working? Studying?
Yeah, I'm exams are coming up. I can't really do anything.
Okay, cool. So then listen to us. Arfi, sup?
Sup with you, man.
I'll tell you what's up with me. Split Second.
Oh, yeah.
This is...
You guys sound very cheesy, by the way.
And that's the intention, you know, like coming off of Kick-Ass. Anywho, Split Second, developed by BlackRock Studios. These guys did Pure before. Disney Interactive Studios has been publishing this, or, you know, not has been, has published this game. It is simply put, if you haven't seen the trailers or do not know anything about this game, which shame on you for not knowing, this movie is literally an arcade racer, sort of Burnout, meets typical Jerry Bruckheimer microwave films. There's shit blowing up all over the place. The whole objective is to come first by blowing shit up and then crashing your opponents. That's literally the objective of the game. They sort of set up the story as that you're racing in a reality TV show, sort of like Death Race, except there's no prisoners or anything involved. And you have like these unlicensed cars that are just racing different categories, muscle, tuner, and trucks. Oh god. Anywho, so yeah, Split Second. The best thing about this game is that visually, it is the most impressive presentation in a racing game, or you know, actually any. I'm talking menus and stuff. Any game I have seen this generation, except maybe. I'm thinking maybe Kills. Maybe Halo. Maybe Halo, because you know they have the whole music and the dynamic background going on. Plus, when you go into the matchmaking, you have the whole globe coming in. But apart from that, I mean, this is really amazing. The best thing about Split Second is that, you know, visually it's extremely, extremely sharp. It doesn't run at 60 FPS, sadly, 30 FPS. However, there's a lot of stuff on the screen. Industrial complexes, buildings, freaking all sorts of particle effects going on when shit blows up. Actually, I think there's just 8 cars on track. And, yes. You know, just choppers, like, just hanging over there. And there's so much on the track that, you know, when you are driving a fast car, at least in the later half of the game, the really, really fast cars, then, you know, you don't realize that the game is just going on 30 FPS. In the beginning, it'll feel really slow. But as you keep on unlocking fast cars, then, you know, the 30 FPS illusion or lack thereof of 60 FPS, it just sort of it makes no difference at all. Because there's so much going on the screen. The best part is that the game is divided into seasons. I don't know how many seasons there are. I feel like 12?
12 episodes.
12 episodes, one season.
Yeah.
So each episode is like, it has four or five races, depending on if you unlock a bonus race, depending on your performance. And each of these episodes, it takes you about roughly half an hour. So, you know, like you can play this game in chunks and then be extremely satisfied still. And it keeps on mixing up with, you know, different like regular race modes. You have your eliminator rounds. You also have like these Apache choppers that are dropping multiple missiles on the ground and you're supposed to dodge them. Also, there's this one mode which is like very reminiscent. Actually, the developers said it themselves. This is very straight out of Terminator 2. The part where they're going in the water canals. And the T-1000, he's like driving in the truck. And then Arnie is like going on in the chopper. Anyway, they're sort of like that. So you have like multiple trucks and they're just throwing explosive barrels on you.
Sorry, how did the Terminator reference come in? I haven't really been following.
That's just so sad.
Arfi, your turn now, please. Tell the
right. So, as Temur was saying, Split Second, I've been playing 6 Split Second as well. And each episode within the season has a specific element to it. It's not really a boss fight, but it's a specific challenge that you have
race
to do
type.
While racing. Race type, yeah. One is this helicopter thing that he was talking about, and another that has been unlocked so far for both of us is this massive 18-wheeler truck.
Trucks,
yes, many trucks flying through these water canals.
Not flying
out.
Through, they're
drifting
the
through.
Yes, okay, I know, but flying, I was trying to get that feeling of that they're going really fast.
You're thinking chopper now.
Okay.
Oh, imagine that. They have like a one race where it's like these trucks throwing explosive barrels and then an Apache chopper on top as well. Whew! That would
sure
be the ultimate boss fight.
Yes. And more or less you have to avoid these tankers being thrown at you because
exploding.
You die if they explode. And overtake as many of these trucks as you can with other racers in the game blowing up in front of you. So
like
it's
visually,
quite chaotic.
This looks exactly like what's it called? Bad Boys 2. You know the highway chase sequence where
yes.
they have like the cars like just running
yes. towards
you on the it looks
very
like that.
Very good reference there, Moore. Very good reference, actually. It looks exactly like that, and it's just as insane and fun to watch.
And each truck you keep on passing, the multiplier just keeps on going higher and higher, and of course, if you crash, I think you lose the multiplier until your I don't know, there's some weird marking system that's going on in the background. But anyways, I mean, damn,
yes.
this is one hell of a game.
It sounds fun to play, but it's
fun to play as well because
The Bad Boys reference wasn't.
No, I mean, come on, the Bad Boys reference. I mean, you're blowing shit up. It's an arcade racer. What more do you want? A story?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It seems fun to play. I'm saying that to the credit of the game, but the movie reference was not.
As Yeah, we have as yet to try the multiplayer.
Tried the multiplayer and...
got ass raped, yeah, but I'm saying between us.
No, but the reason why the... It's something stupid in that you can race higher tier cars.
That was silly, actually. Yeah.
What do you mean, higher tier cars against lower tier cars?
Yeah.
So I started, I started the multiplayer mode, and so what happens is that you can see the name of the cars. Of course, they make no sense because, you know, it's unlicensed cars. You don't know what car this is. And you can't see the car selection. Like, there's no icon or something on the car either. It's just the name of the car. So what happens is that there are 10 bars that come up, and the faster or the more powerful the car, you know, the higher the bar is. So when I started the game, I think after finishing episode 2 maybe, anyway, I unlocked the third car in the game. And I was maybe, 2 out of 10 bars, and then I was racing against people who were like 8 or 9 bars out of 10.
Wow.
So that was fun.
It's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Dude, you have no... I think maybe the designers thought that, you know, if you keep on racking up because how you gain the power to explode stuff is the more you drift, the more you draft, as in, you know, going behind opponents, and the more you jump in the air or the air time that you get.
So it's like, it's like burnout. I'll just say this. This is one of the viewers, Prashant K, said that it's like burnout meets Michael Bay. Only further.
That's literally it. Like I said, the multiplayer aspect is that, you know, you can play against higher tiered cars with the intention being that, you know, you can rack up these the bars and then, you know, trigger explosions and whatnot. However, you can only trigger explosions if you can see the car. Those cars are so fast away, they're racking up like 8-9 second differences between them and me that I can't even see them. They're already like halfway across the track, so I can't trigger shit at that time, which sort of feeds the purpose, because, you know, everybody's just literally driving at that point.
So it's like Modern Warfare 2, but a racing game. It's like...
You can say that. And so what ends up happening is that, let's say that, you know, out of 8 racers, there's a maximum of 8. Like 2 or 3 of them have like really high-tiered cars, and then, you know, 1 or 2 of them had low-tiered cars. So then it just becomes a pack between these 3 or 4. Like, the race disintegrates into like 2 or 3 groups. So like the low end cars, these are like trying to, you know, overtake each other by doing explosives, because, you know, they keep on seeing the other guy in front of them. Whereas the high tiered cars are like 8-9 seconds ahead of you. They're having their own sort of small competition.
Okay.
So it's not like Blur, where, you know, it could be anybody's game.
Interesting. I wonder if they'll tighten them up, or you just didn't know how to play a multiplayer game.
And how is the multiplayer experience in terms of like netcode and lag? Like, how does it handle that?
It is absolutely brilliant. Like, there was shit going up all over the place. I'm sure these guys are like from different countries, because, you know, I was judging from the username. But not a hint of lag. Like, you know, sometimes when you're playing racing games, sometimes you just see like cars skipping all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing of that sort.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive.
There are only 8 cars, so maybe.
Yeah.
So they restricted it. That said, you know, there's a lot of dynamic stuff going on the track.
Yeah, but like 8 cars, like for a game that seems this, like, you know, insane.
This dynamic, then yeah, it's enough. It's enough. I just hope that, you know, they bring out a patch where they categorize the cars, or at least unlock all the cars. So, like, you know, they could do something like Street Fighter 4, where, you know, in multiplayer mode, all the cars are unlocked. It doesn't matter if you've unlocked them in the single player or not. So just, you know, just to give everybody a level playing field.
Yep.
But damn, this game is good. Oh, by the way, for anybody who's planning to pick it up on the PC, you can put all maximum settings or all lows. Does not matter. The game is hard locked to 30 frames per second. You can't get it on the PC on your like really expensive pimped out ring thing.
Yeah, just to, you know, show off your 60 FPS.
Yeah. Yeah, that won't happen.
Pwned.
Then again, this is the PC. Somebody will unlock it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Unofficial patch will come out, and people will be like, "Oh my god!"
But then the experience will be like,
it will be way too chaotic and uncontrollable, I think, because this is the reason why the developers didn't even put NOS in this game or any option like boost or something. They were like, "There's so much going on the screen already. If we had put in the, you know, like a boost thing or, you know, NOS, then, you know, shit would have gotten out of control." I agree with them to some extent, but there are certainly places where, you know, if you crash in or, you know, you make a really hard turn, the car slows down a lot.
Yes.
You see all your opponents passing you by. In those situations, NOS really, really would have helped.
Yeah.
I guess it's for the second one, but, you know, for a first time try, I think this is a really excellent franchise, a really good start.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. I guess.
Anything else? No, but that's your main.
For split seconds, nothing else. Unless you want to chime in something additional.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Yeah, I've really been enjoying it as well.
Apart from that, I have actually I had Lost Man, but sadly I didn't. I also had Prince of Persia, and sadly I didn't.
The Prince of Persia. One question.
I also have Metro 23, and I didn't.
Stop cutting off like that. I'm saying Prince of Persia, the new game. Is it like a reimagining of the old game, or is it like a completely new game in the series?
It's between the Seekers. The movie is based on the first game, right? So the movie is based on the first game, 2003 Prince of Persia. Then you had the Prince of Persia, the Two Thrones, which was the two.
Wasn't Warrior Within but before that?
Yeah, Warrior Within was the 05 sequel. And I think 06 or 07 was the
Two Thrones.
But anyways, this game takes place between the first and the second game. So it's after the movie, but before the second sequel. And apparently it starts off exactly after the first game ends. So it's sort of a continuation. Gameplay-wise, from what I've seen, I haven't played this, from what I've seen, it's pretty much like the first game. So
if you just cut up, I thought I had dropped.
why are you like, thanks guys for joining already, man? What's going on?
No, I'm just saying, because this is the first time you've got so many listeners. It's quite amazing.
As soon as you said that, somebody left.
Whoa, people don't leave. We still have time. I'm just... Whoa, okay, people are leaving.
Shoot, what the
hell? Bad time to say that. Anywho, Prince of Persia, that was that.
Alright. We got them back, it's okay. I've also been playing some new games beyond Split Second. One being Red Dead Redemption. Now, I think...
GTA 4 in the West on horses, done. Let's move along.
I was going to say that we could actually dedicate a whole show to this game because there's so much in there and you keep on like... I don't know. I mean, I don't know where to start, where to finish. Yes, it's GTA in the West almost. But the style and the feel of the game is much different. I mean, one thing is that there's a lot of open areas here. I mean, you know, when you're in Liberty City, you've got the city all around you. Wherever you're driving, you've got buildings and stuff. Over here, very often you'll have nothing but cactus and, you know, shrubbery. But I think that's done on purpose just to, you know, make you feel that, you know what, you're kind of alone over here and, you know, you're a little speck.
Doesn't that remind you of Fallout 3?
Yeah, almost like that. And I think that's the feeling they're trying to convey. But luckily, you know, it's not pushed on you. You can travel between destinations without actually riding your horse. You can just skip directly to destination, so that's fine. For people who don't want to, you know, watch the scenery and stuff, it's fine.
I gotta ask you something. Are there, like, faster level of horses, like, you know?
Yes.
2 horsepower?
Yes, there are different...
Different mounts?
There are different mounts.
Different breeds?
Okay. Yeah, there are different breeds.
Can you ride a donkey?
You can ride a donkey.
Oh, snap.
But it's not very
also,
fast,
one more thing that I'm interested in knowing is that, do they have scenes from, because, you know, like GTA 4 had, like, you know, you could see many sort of influences of movie set pieces.
Yep,
you know, the
yep.
Do you have stuff like that from Western films?
You do. What is the name?
Red Dead Baby.
Huh?
That's the last good Western I saw. No, actually, no. The last.
No, the one with the Guy Pearce.
That's the Australian film. I've seen that.
Dale and him. What was his name?
Oh, that was 3:10 to Yuma.
Yeah.
No.
I know what you're talking about. The Guy Pearce film, though. I can't remember the name, but I have watched that. It's a good movie.
Very, very similar. Very similar to that in terms of, you know, more or less the storyline is you used to be in a merry band of bandits, and used to rob and stuff like that. But then you decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this shit anymore, and you decide to have a family. Now you can never really get away. So one day the government comes, takes your son and your wife away and says, you're going to go and get your ex-gang members for us, or you're not going to see your family again.
What?
And that's,
man. Yeah, those are some lawless days back in there. Like, you know,
yep.
Shit.
So this is it. This is more or less what you're doing. And it starts off with a bang, literally, in the beginning, where I was just like, what the hell? So I'm not going to like say anything. But more or less, it's your mission to try and get this old gang member of yours. And, you know, what you have to go to do it, you know, by meeting people and recruit, not really recruiting people, but getting people to do stuff for you.
Don't you do missions?
You do missions, but you're doing missions so they do something for you, you know, more or less.
Okay.
So this is the premise. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, the game is just, there are quite a few clipping issues and stuff, which they're supposed to have sorted out. But apart from that, the game is absolutely beautiful. The mini games are excellent. The random occurrences where you meet people and you need to do things, there's two types of those. You'll meet, you know, you'll have random occurrences like somebody stole my horse, or they're trying to kill me, please save me, that sort of thing. But then there are unique occurrences that happen as well that you can screw up as well, and then you won't find them again. So you need to be careful with some of the things. There are duels, which I still find a little bit odd, to be honest with you. They don't, that's the one flaw in the game. The duels, which should be like flawless, don't work very well for me. I just, either that or I haven't figured out how to do them, but I'm 15 hours into the game, so I would think that I should have figured out how to do them by now because of the tutorials and the way the game progresses. So that is the one flaw that I've faced in this game.
Do you have any rocket launchers in the game?
I haven't come across them, but...
But you have, like, crossbows and automatic bows and stuff like that?
I haven't come across any crossbows at the moment.
Do you have any Red Indians in there, you know, any local?
No.
I have one question.
Mexicans, bless you.
Oh, dude, you need to, like, mute it when you sneeze.
Yeah, dude, seriously, that was
oh, you mean
really
like...
nasty. Yes, exactly, like that, yes.
Anyway, I have a question. How are the controls of the game? Because I remember playing Red Dead Revolver, and the controls of that was for that time I felt it was a really mishmash kind of control. It was really bad the first game, the controls at least. But how are the controls of this game?
The choosing your weapons and stuff takes a little bit of getting used to do it fast. And still you can slip up a little bit. You have to press the LB button and then your right stick to choose. And when you're in the middle of the action, that can be a little bit sticky sometimes. But apart from that, the shooting mechanic, everything is spot on. It's very much like GTA, that if you aim towards the character, it will aim at the character. So you don't have to, you know, it's not like a first-person shooter where you have to friggin' get it right on the person. You just have to, you know, tap the zoom button and you'll be on the guy. So it's very fast-paced and it works very well, especially when you sometimes have, you know, gunfights with like up to like 10 or 15 characters at one time. So it's really nice, really fast-paced, and works very well. So I really enjoy it because a lot of times you're shooting from the back of your horse as well.
Oh, nice.
So you, it has to be quick.
Can you jump on somebody else's horses while riding your own?
I haven't tried that, to be honest with you, because...
Have you seen it happen?
No, but what you can do is you
can
jump
on carriages?
You can jump onto carriages and
nice.
Trains, which is awesome.
What about machine guns? You must have machine guns in there, I mean.
You have a Gatling gun, but obviously you can't carry that thing around, but it comes up once in a while when the story permits, and it can be a lot of fun to use. But I still prefer using my rifles and...
One last question. I guess we close off. Of the 15 hours of you've played, is it deserving of the 95 it's got on Metacritic right now? Because that is some insane scores it's got. Like everybody went just ballistic over this game. It is quite amazing because there's another game, Super Mario Galaxy 2, which is also going like getting very very high reviews, which is quite surprising at least at this time of the year.
I'll put it this way: I got this game on Thursday evening. And usually, you know, on weekends, people have plans, they go out and do stuff. I was sitting on my couch playing this game. So anyone asks, what did you do on the weekend? I was playing this game. That's all I was doing. I mean, there are not very many games that you can just sit there and play and play and play and not get bored. So I think it's pretty deserving of, at the very least, a 9. More than that, I'll have to see as the story progresses. And I think there's probably another 15 hours left in the game. So, you know, if it doesn't get boring whatsoever, then yes, 95s, 98s, 100s, why not?
Nice.
Why not? And there's just one last game that I've played for an hour today that I just got my hands on, which I'll just mention and talk about in brief because I played the single player. So it's a good comparison with Split Second single player. And that game is
Mission Racers.
No, that Blur. Game is very is Blur.
What? You got Blur? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nice.
I got the promotion copy today, and I had a chance to play it for about 45 minutes to an hour before the podcast when I got home.
The determination. The dedication.
Yeah, exactly. From the demo, multiplayer demo we played, I feel that the single player, as far as graphics go, have been tightened up a lot. It just, I don't know, the sceneries and everything just felt richer and tighter to me.
It's rolling at what, 60 FPS? Any idea? You're not that technical.
Not sure.
I don't think so.
I don't get into the technical shit, dude.
Because if the demo was at 30, right? So I wouldn't expect it was at 30. I wouldn't expect them to like mark it up to 60 FPS in the finished product because, I mean, that's some hardcore like engine like ramifications they have to do there. So I wouldn't expect them to make it to a 60 FPS game.
Anyway, okay, I played through the first year. More or less, the way the single player is structured is that you have bosses. I think they're up to like 10 bosses or something like that, and each one you have to play through various races, different types of races. You know, you have to destroy vehicles or you have to come first or whatever it is, and I guess more options will unlock. And then you get a one-on-one race with the boss and you can win their car. Now,
so it's from what you said, it seems similar to Most Wanted.
Very Need for Speed type of gameplay. Leveling up, let's say.
Does it have a story?
No, doesn't seem to have it at all. It's got one of the coolest opening sequences that I've watched in a racing game for a while, just because of the music and the cheeky way it's done. But I'll let you guys watch that and make your own decision with that. So it's got... they've got 55 licensed cars and everything from, you know, like new cars like the Dodge Challenger SRT8 to like the old school Beetles, which I thought were really cool. And that, you know, mixes things up quite a bit. Visually, it looks beautiful. The single player gameplay as compared to Split Second, because this has to be compared, doesn't have the same
charisma.
No, I didn't feel it as tight and as much fun as Split Second single player was.
You still have to go through the single player to unlock cars in the multiplayer?
Yes. That I don't know. I didn't try the multiplayer, but I think that is the way it works. But I have the feeling, and we'll talk about this more in the next podcast when, you know, we've all had some more time to play both games. I feel that the multiplayer for Blur will be much better than Split Seconds, but the single player for Split Second at the moment is stacking up much higher than Blur's, because even the way you work through it, the menu system and all, isn't very friendly in Blur. It was a bit confusing in the beginning. I didn't understand how to... what I needed to do and what these icons were and things like that, where Split Second is, it's there, it's awesome to look at, go. You know, this nice. Is what you have to do to it. So it's interesting, you know. I have played the demo for Blur, which was multiplayer, so I know how good that was, but I haven't played Split Second multiplayer, but, you know, from Temur's experience, maybe it's lacking some control there. that Blur has. So,
I mean,
definitely it's an interesting conversation next week, I think.
From what we've been reading, it was always, split seconds, single player was the one which always looked more like a single player, like a better single player experience than Blur, right? Like, when we played Blur, we were always thinking.
Guys, hold up though. I think I just had to answer myself. When we were playing the beta for Blur, remember when we were winning races, we would get fans and then we would unlock more cars. So I think the game is designed such that even if you stick just to the multiplayer, you can still unlock.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, okay. Because you're leveling up fans in the single player as well. So it might be an interesting way to mold the two together, single player and multiplayer. But that said, the single player isn't easy. You know, those guys, if you're out in front, they'll just keep.
Do you have difficulty levels in there, or is it like split second where there's no?
I didn't see any difficulty level, so potentially not. Potentially not.
Okay.
But definitely, I mean, hopefully Red Dead Redemption, I'll be able to play multiplayer again for next week as well. So a lot of multiplayer conversation in next time's episode, I think.
Okay.
Good stuff then.
You're end of that one?
Yeah, I guess so. We can... And with that one, guys, you can find us on the-culture.com or search for the podcast as The Culture on iTunes.
You can find me on twitter.com/MihirJ. That's MihirJ. I've also signed up for this new, I don't know if it's a network, but it's like this question answer kind of thingy called FormSpring. And it's at formspring.me/MihirJ, which is, it's quite interesting. Like, it's a very simple concept, but it's a lot of fun to play around with. And I've been basically just using that for the last couple of days. Pretty cool. Check it out, guys.
I thought you were supposed to be studying or something, dude. What the F are you doing?
Yeah, dude, what the...
Anyway, and I'm Arfiman on Twitter, ArfiMan. You'll hopefully find an update from me every 2 weeks. So
or unless... You hook up your Blur to your Twitter account.
Yeah, then you can, you know, show your fans over there or your driving.
You've won.
I might actually do that for the next few days because no one else got this game, so just make myself feel important for a few days. That's a good idea. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Guys, you can find me on twitter.com/Taimoorh, that's DIMOORH, and dculture101@gmail.com if you want to.
Please email us if you have any questions or anything you guys would like to talk about.
Sure.
For us to talk about, not you guys. But
well, you know, anything works as long as we're the ones talking. And not you.
Anyway.
Before Mihir drops out again, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Arfi. Thank you, Mihir. Thank you for listening to the Silver Anniversary podcast.
And thanks for the listeners who actually... This was the highest
we've... That was nice. That was a nice turnout.
I would say that mostly to a listener on the show. His ID is Nush D. He's our PR, if you will say.
Indeed.
Keep it up. We'll have something good for you soon. Yeah.
Don't give false hope.
Dude, they didn't know it was false hope until you just cut.
God damn.
Okay, yeah, guys, let's bounce now. All right, catch you all later. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.